Hello friends, welcome to V School once again. We are on Chapter 7, Hedging as a Tool for Agri Price Risk Management. In the previous chapter, we learnt about the basics of futures, options, and forward contracts, which are used as derivatives for managing risk, for speculating on price movement, and at the same time creating a safety net for the farmers and not to actually suffer because of the price volatility and the price risk. We have also learned how these derivatives can be integrated with traditional risk management tools such as diversification of crops, insurance, crop insurance, etc., so as to ensure that the farmer actually has the profit which he expects, and in turn he can plan, he can budget his farm operations and ensure a sustainable farming business. Now, if derivatives help the farmer to manage the risk, we are going to learn a specialized way of managing risk in this chapter with hedging. And when we talk about hedging, hedging helps the farmer to balance the risk, to ensure that he actually protects himself with an offsetting position, which can be a combination of different derivative contracts to ensure that he is not affected by the price changes despite the market fluctuations, despite the price volatility. Hedging will be a powerful tool for the farmer to manage agricultural price risk. So in this chapter, we are going to learn the basics of hedging. We will learn what are the objectives of hedging, especially in agriculture. Then we'll learn the different steps in hedging. We'll also learn about the different types of hedging, the advantages and limitations of hedging, what are the challenges that a farmer can face in hedging, and finally, the future trends in agricultural hedging. So let's start with who are the players who are involved into hedging. When we talk about different types of traders, we can categorize them into hedgers, speculators, and arbitragers. So what is the difference between the hedgers, the speculators, and the arbitragers? There is a distinct difference between these three types of traders, especially in the commodities market. Hedgers' main objective is to reduce the risk or even to eliminate the risk by undertaking an exact opposite trade. So despite the price falling or rising, the trade which is exact opposite to which a hedger has booked at a spot price will balance the risk and ensure that hedger will not have to suffer any loss because of the risk or the loss that arises because of the original trade. Speculators have a different take. They try to take advantage of the price movement. They leverage by betting on the future movements in the price of an asset. So any beneficial trend, any beneficial change in the price can help the speculators to book profits. And when we talk about speculators, they can be margin traders, they can be day traders, they can be positional traders. These three can be simply classified on the basis of trade they undertake. Like margin traders do trading on the margin without investing heavily. Day traders, they take advantage of the movements in price every day. Whereas positional traders, they take a trade today and wait for a perfect time to square off the position. RB triggers, they simply take advantage of the price discrepancy in two different markets. So maybe for the same commodity, they will look at where they have a benefit in squaring off a transaction, and accordingly, they will book their profits by taking advantage of the discrepancy between the prices in two different commodity markets. So having understood these three main type of traders, now let's enter into the basic concepts of hedging. So what exactly is hedging? Hedging simply enables, when we talk in terms of the farmer, it helps the farmer to protect himself from potential losses through a strategy. That strategy will be to offset or minimize the risk of possible losses. Like we saw in the previous slide, they take exactly an opposite position to what they have actually done in a trade. So if it is a buy, they can take a sell, and that's how they try to balance the risk of a trade with their strategy. And why this strategy is useful? Because it helps the farmer to mitigate the potential losses. It helps them to take an exactly opposite position to offset and balance the risk adopted in an agricultural commodity, and thus mitigate the potential losses. The primary goal of hedging is to create a safety net that protects the farmer against any downside risk, and at the same time, if there is any upside, he can take advantage of the profits that arrive, or he can derive out of that trade. The degree of effectiveness of a hedge is determined by the percentage of actual gain or loss incurred in a hedging transaction. But per se, if we have to understand the basic objective of hedging, it is not for actually booking heavy profits. It's simply to create a safety net to balance the risk, and thus to ensure that the losses are not inflicted on a farmer just because of one trade that he enters into. Let's understand hedging with an example. For example, a farmer expects 500 kgs of maize in 3 months. So at the harvest time, he assumes a spot price of say about rupees 75. If he is expecting a spot price of rupees 75 per kg, then his goal is to sell 500 kgs of maize in 3 months. At least he should get 75, but the price of maize could fluctuate. It could fall considerably below 75, and if it falls, then he may have to suffer a loss. And hence what the farmer does is he wants to have at least a profit of 25, and he enters into a hedging contract by which he gets at least rupees 100 per kg of maize and no less. And that's how, for a small price where he has to actually pay if he wants to buy out an option contract, with this small premium, he buys out an option contract and transfers the risk to someone else willing to take it by paying a small premium. And at the harvest time, the farmer can exercise his option, in this case, to sell 500 kgs of maize. So he has bought this option contract to sell out 500 kgs at 100 per kg. So whatever the price during that exercise date, he is assured of at least rupees 100 per kg. And thus, even though he had assumed a price of rupees 75, and even though the market price, the spot price then has gone below 75, he gets a price of rupees 100 per kg regardless of the market price, and thus protects his income. So this is the way he can benefit for a small price, and in case of an option contract, he can actually decide not to execute the contract at the expiry date, because an option contract simply gives him the right to buy or sell without any obligation. So this is the beauty of option contract, and based on what type of contract suits him for hedging, whether it's a forward contract, future contract, or an option contract, the farmer can accordingly design his hedging strategy, integrating it with other traditional risk management tools. So having understood the concept and example of hedging, what are the objectives of hedging, especially in agriculture? The primary objective of hedging is to manage the price risk. And how do we manage the price risk? By simply booking an opposite position. And this basic objective is to have safeguard from the negative impact due to price fluctuations and to create a safety net for profitability from farm operations. Farmers can protect the profit margins by reducing the impact of rising input costs, falling commodity prices, and various factors which I have seen in our previous chapter, that is factors affecting the agricultural price. It can be natural factors, it can be environmental factors, it can be technological factors, it can be political and social factors, and so many other factors which can it can be also micro and macroeconomic factors. So any factor that results into a change or fluctuation in the price can be safeguarded with the hedging strategy. The basic objective of a hedging strategy is to minimize the risk or to maximize the hedging effectiveness. Hedging contributes to the long-term sustainability, because if the farmer can protect his profit margins, he will continue to invest into his farming activity, increase the sustainability of farming, and if this is continued over a period of time, it contributes to long-term sustainability of the agricultural operations, obviously the well-being of the farmers, and it would succeed in providing food security to the millions of population, especially for our Indian economy. So now let's understand the different steps in hedging. The first step in hedging is to identify the specific risk, because whenever we want to actually deploy a tool, we need to know what type of risk, we need to identify the risk, we need to assess the risk, we need to prioritize the risk. Once we have identified a specific risk, then the next step will be to select an appropriate hedging instrument. When we talk about hedging instrument, when we talk about a derivative strategy, then it can be either a forward or a future or even an option contract. Once a suitable hedging instrument is finalized, then the next step is to establish the contract by entering into a transaction and completing the hedging deal. Once that is done, that's not all, because even though the farmer has entered into a hedging actual instrument, but that instrument is bound to suffer the fluctuations, the volatility in prices, and for that reason, farmer has to constantly monitor the price of hedging instrument. He may have to adjust his hedging strategy. He may have to actually correct the tool that he has used for balancing. And here, once again, he has to understand what cost he is going to incur. Against that cost, what benefit of protection he is going to get. So this entire evaluation has to be done with monitoring the price of the hedging instrument. And the final step in effective hedge management is to evaluate the effectiveness of hedging strategy and determine whether improvements are needed. If need be, then he also needs to adjust the hedging strategy. Maybe he will have to change the tool based on the type of the environment or situation he has to face, specifically in terms of price movements and price volatility. And for this reason, there are specialized offices that are to be set up for managing the risk, especially when we talk in terms of hedging. So when we talk about a risk management cell for hedging, we can categorize them into three main sub offices: the front office, the mid office, and the back office. Each office has distinct items or actions of responsibility. Like the front office is responsible for executing trade based on the hedging policy. So this will comprise of dealers who directly contact with the traders on the opposite side and they book a deal. Then comes the job of the mid office. The mid office will evaluate the risk and ensure that the trades comply with specific risk and controls specified in the hedging policy. So before even the dealer enters into a trade, he has to follow the hedging policy actually designed by the farmer or the risk management cell. And the mid office job is to evaluate whether the terms specified in the hedging policy are complied. The mid office also needs to evaluate risk and ensure that the trades comply with specific risk. And finally, the back office actually does the processing of the post-trade operations by actually leveraging the recording of the trade deals and confirming and settling transaction. So the final finishing touch of a trade is done by the back office, and they also provide reports for records as well as sending reports to the decision makers. So everyone involved in this process is aware about what has happened, responsible and accountable for. So this is the way a risk management cell operates through the front office, through the mid office, and through the back office. So what are the essentials for regularly monitoring of hedge? Obviously, the cash position, liquidity is most important. The future position, because the spot price is never going to remain the same. It is bound to change, and the future position becomes very important. Margins are required to be paid. So how big are the margins, or how the margins are going to be managed? The basis movement, that is changes of the spot prices, what would be the future price? The difference in the spot and the future prices needs to be monitored, and any other information that can be useful for monitoring a deal, for monitoring a derivatives contract, is essential in case of a hedge contract. Next important information for adjusting in the hedge, we have seen the farmer has to constantly monitor the deal and what exactly is required for making any fine-tuning to the actually entered hedging deal. For that, one needs to do adjustments on the basis of change in the risk exposure. The farmer's decision can be based on his risk appetite and risk tolerance. So based on the risk or exposure, he needs to adjust his hedging strategy. There can be a change in the hedge ratio. This hedge ratio purely depends upon the difference in the spot and the future, the regression line, which actually gives a relationship between the spot price and the future price. So he needs to pay attention to the hedging ratio. Then the new hedging goals, like there can be different factors creating different demand and supply of the harvesting season. So there can be different hedging goals. So that also needs to be taken into account for adjusting the hedge. And the basis management is also very important. And finally, the rolling the hedge. So all this information, whether to continue with the same derivatives contract or not, rolling over of the hedge to actually ensure that the hedge that is booked actually suits the changing market situation and scenario. So all this essential information has to be kept in mind while taking a call on adjusting the hedge. So when we talk about these adjustments, different hedgers caters to varying exposures, market conditions, farmers' financial objectives. They also provide varying levels of customization and flexibility to achieve the goals. And the best part of this hedging is it allows the farmers to choose the most cost-effective and efficient hedging instruments, and customization helps him to actually adjust his hedging strategy based on different risk exposures, market conditions, and the goals for which he is doing the farming. So having understood the concept, the example, the objectives of the hedge, now let's look at the different types of hedges. Different types of hedges can be a short hedge, a long hedge, a cross hedge, a perfect hedge, a forward hedge, a futures hedge, as well as an options hedge. So let's understand this each one by one. What is a short hedge? A short hedge is a futures contract to protect the value of a cash position against a decline in cash prices. So a farmer who has just harvested a significant amount of, say, corn, can enter into a short futures contract for the corn. And if the price of the corn falls before selling the harvest, then the farmer will be able to sell the corn at a higher price, because a future contract will help the farmer to lock in a price to sell at a specific price. So even though the price of the corn falls, the farmer would be assured of the locked in price in the future contract, and thus he will offset the loss from the price drop in the physical market. So that is the beauty of short hedge, which helps the farmer to sell it at a price that he has locked in the futures contract. What is a long hedge? A long hedge in a futures contract is to protect against a price increase in the underlying. So a bakery owner can use a long hedge to offset the risk of a higher floor cost and protect the profits. So he can lock in a price to buy, even though the price increases in the market, his buying price will be fixed, and thus it won't upset his budget and maintain its profitability based on which he has set his price for the bakery products. A cross hedge, taking a position in a different but related asset with a positive correlation in price movement, describes a cross hedge. A farmer, say, fears a fall in soybean price before harvest, so he can deploy a cross hedge strategy. He can buy corn futures contract, and if the soybean prices falls, corn prices are also likely to fall. Thus, the farmer can offset the risk of falling soybean price against a fall in corn price. So both corn and soybean being related, they have a positive relation. The farmer can actually use a cross hedge strategy and protect himself from the price movements. What is a perfect hedge? A perfect hedge eliminates the risk of price movement in an asset. There can be a risk because of the potential fluctuations, say, example, potato prices. So in case of a potato price fluctuation, a perfect hedge strategy will help a farmer to buy a put option at a predetermined price to earn a profit. So if the potato price falls in the cash market, farmer can still exercise their put option and sell the potato at a higher predetermined price. So he will not only be assured of a higher price, at the same time he can minimize the loss. Another example of a hedge is a forward hedge. A forward hedge contract helps the farmer to lock a price in advance to buy an agricultural commodity at a future risk. So what could be the risk in a forward hedge? A small restaurant, say, wants to buy chana for one of his most popular dish, say, chana masala. Then in that case, the chana prices may fluctuate depending on the global harvest and other factors. And this small restaurant owner can actually use a forward hedge strategy by actually entering into a forward contract and buy a 3 months forward contract on chana, and ensure that he gets a price on which he can buy the chana and ensure the desired profit margins. If the chana prices fall, the small restaurant owner, in spite of the price fall, will still receive the chana at a predetermined price, and the price of the chana, or the price mentioned locked in the contract, will help him to ensure a consistent pricing and desired profit margin. Next is a futures hedge, which helps a farmer to offset a position in a future contract for an underlying asset. For example, let us take grapes. A farmer fears the price drops in grapes around harvest time. So what is the best way? He can enter into a futures contract for the grapes before the harvest. Now, if the price of the grapes falls, the future contracts will help the farmer to offset the loss with a short position and thus ensure that he won't suffer a loss because of the price drop. An options hedge is again another method to hedge risk associated with crop price fluctuations. For example, a good harvest across a country can lead to a surplus and price drop. And in this case, because of the surplus, a farmer can enter into a put option to protect him from the loss due to a price drop. The put option will help the farmer to get a price which has been locked in. Say, for example, if the market price of Tur Dal drops, the farmer will suffer a loss. However, the gains of the put option will offset the loss, and thus the farmer can maintain a no profit, no loss, and balance the risk that he has to face because of the drop in the Tur Dal price. So friends, having understood the different types of hedging, there can be various advantages of hedging as well as there are certain limitations of hedging. So let's look at the different advantages and limitations of hedging.